morning, we were speaking about the birds. And I guess whenever you see some of these birds flying, arriving or departing, you remember that they have a lesson to teach us. To watch the birds. Especially remember that these birds, when they travel, they can take any provision along. So we can't take any provision either. We have to read and study and meditate in God's Word day by day. As we walk along in our Christian life to feed ourselves in the Word, so we shall be able to be helpful and to be useful as well as true. We spoke a little bit about airplanes and ways of traveling. Down in French Guiana, where French Guiana is in South America, in the northeast shore of South America, if we want to go into the interior villages, we either have to fly in by a small plane, or we travel along the rivers. And our rivers are not for big boats. We have lots of rapids in the rivers, so we do travel in canoes, big dugout canoes. And because these canoes, sometimes going over the river, over the rapids, going up the river or coming down, it can be quite dangerous. And it happens once in a while that some of these canoes sink or even get knocked apart in the rapids, especially coming down the river. We have had shipwrecks in traveling inland on more than one occasion. So this evening we're going to speak about canoes or about ships. That's a ship, that's a small ship. And with the help of the Lord, we're going to speak about the only ship Satan can sink. The only ship Satan cannot sink. And to begin with, we're going to read in 1 John chapter 1. First Epistle of John, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. First John, chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle John says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The word that came up 3 or 4 times in here is, of course, fellowship. That's the only ship Satan cannot sink. Big ships have sunk, Titanic, Rolls, and in French Guiana, many of our canoes have sunk. I do remember. I've been in it myself. And so, the fellowship is the ship which can go on. Fellowship, we can maybe sort of give an interpretation of it. It's a few fellows in a ship. A few fellows in a ship. And especially when you're in canoes, as like we have our dugout canoes in French Guiana, if there are a few fellows in the ship, we have to work together. Because it's very easy for a canoe to tip over. Huh? Sometimes it's just the rivers and the wild waters and the rocks in the river that can turn us over. But if we don't get along in the canoe, we might either turn the whole canoe over or one or the other might fall into the water. So the fellows in the ship have to work together. And the fellows, the men and the women and the son, we have to work together, otherwise our fellowship goes overboard too. Now we can have fellowship in several different ways, and we're going to look at some of these ways. This morning I mentioned, and maybe we can turn back to it again, in Genesis chapter 22. If you don't mind to be reminded again of this story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, there we have this wonderful story of Abraham and Isaac going out, and the conversation, of course, Abraham obeyed God, and he took Isaac his son, and they went out to this Mount Moriah, and they had the conversation together, verse 6, Genesis 22, verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in one hand, and his knife, and they went, both of them together. Abraham went out with Isaac, his son, and they went out to worship God. They had fellowship in worship. This morning we were together here too. We had fellowship in worship. All together we came with one aim and with one desire. We wanted to worship and we wanted to praise God for what He is and for what He has done. Abraham and Isaac went out and we read, and they went, both of them together. We mentioned a little bit the conversation they had this morning, the question. And then we come back to verse 8 and the end again. We say, so they went, both of them together. It's in the end of verse 8. They went out there to present, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? They went out there to present the sin offering to God. And of course, as Abraham had tied up his son, as he was reaching out for the knife, and then in the last moment, the angel of the Lord called, Abraham, Abraham, hold it! And then you know, Abraham looked around and he saw a ram in the picture. There was not a lamb, there was a ram. And for the thing which they planned to present the sin offering, afterwards they could present a burnt offering to the Lord. For the burnt offering, it had to be a ram. And they worshipped and they thanked God. And I'm sure these men, both their hearts were united. As they presented this ram, cut it apart there and laid it upon all the altar and put the fire in it. And they worshipped the Lord. Maybe in a way which they had never worshipped the Lord before. And I can just so a little bit imagine, certainly not to the bottom of the depth of these two men. But as they walked back from their altar up in Mount Moriah to back to the place where I had left the donkeys and where I had left the son, their hearts were united. Abraham knew, God had given me my son back. Maybe he thought, I thought he would do it, but I never knew how he was going to do it. And they walked together, perhaps quietly and in silence, but they walked together in love. They had fellowship in worship. And I wonder if we always, when we come to worship the Lord, if we indeed do have fellowship. These two men, their father and son, they were united. They enjoyed the fellowship. They were happy going on. I don't think they were very tired on this return trip. You know? They had fellowship in worship. And it's very important for us that we always remember, worship comes before the Lord. And if we can have worship with real fellowship, first of all, fellowship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, and then also fellowship with one another. The thing which is quite often is missing among brothers and sisters. They went, both of them together in real fellowship. And the Lord grant that we too can have fellowship in worship. Come together in the new unity of that we're reading in 1 John. If we have fellowship, we are united with God, and we should also be united with one another. And if we cannot have fellowship with God if we walk in darkness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we do have fellowship with one another. I've just been singing this little chorus about the ark. I am in the ark, hallelujah. Are we all in the ark? We're in the ark, we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have come to trust in Him and to obey Him, accept Him, and now we walk in Him. And we can indeed sing, I am in the ark, hallelujah. We can sing it all joyfully because we're happy. Back in the book of Genesis 2, chapter 6 to 8, we have the story of the ark. Now there can be fellowship, not only in worship, but there can also be fellowship in working. Here at Community Hills in the conference grounds, quite often you have these working parties. You have good fellowship, huh? Fellowship in working. That's nothing new what you're doing. This is already back there in the time of Noah. They had fellowship and working, and they were building up the ark. Noah and his son. Maybe some others were invited too to come and join and help in the work. But they were building up the ark. And through the ark, each one who really trusts in God, we are sorry to say there were not very many, but each one who has trusted in God and obeyed God and then come in, and perhaps even has helped, especially Noah and his sons and surely their wives, they had fellowship while they were building up the ark. Helping together, cutting the lumber of the trees down, cutting the boards and the beams, and then building up the ship. It was a big ship. A very big ship. Huh? And I'm sure while they did it, they were happy. And during the same time, Noah was preaching. Maybe sometimes they were singing together. They had fellowship in working and building up the ark. And the work was completed. And through this ark, the human race was saved. Not very many, but some. And we are the descendants of them. But often we are wondering why didn't more come in. Sometimes we wonder why didn't even Noah's brothers come in. You know, he had brothers too. If you read through the genealogies there in the beginning of Genesis, especially in chapter 5, he had brothers, but they didn't come. All these people, when they saw the animals coming in, I don't think there was a daily show that they could see that all these animals, pair by pair, would come and walk into an ark. Why didn't they wonder? But nobody wanted to come. Fellowship and working. Back in the book of Genesis, they were building up the ark. In unity, Noah and his son. When we come to the book of Exodus, from about chapter 25 on to the end of the book, they were building again, they were constructing again. They were constructing the tabernacle. And they were all helping. But they went out from Egypt, the Egyptians had given them gifts, silver and gold and purple and lots of nice things. Just taking it all along, wanted to go, take it along. You know, they used these things. And the people brought gifts. Moses had made a public appeal. We're going to construct this tabernacle. We're going to use silver, and we're going to use gold, and we're going to use purple, and we're going to use white linen, and we're going to use so many things. And also we can use your help. And they brought in. Voluntarily, actually, they came to the point which Moses had to say, don't bring any more. We have too much already. Don't bring any more. And they built up the tabernacle, the place where God met them. The tabernacle who was the center of the gathering of the children of Israel there. They were all working together in fellowship. And here sometimes you do it during the summer months here in the conference grounds, when you have your Memorial Day rally and work party. Fellowship, men and women from different places come and work together. And it's not only for a conference ground, but what's God building today? Is God building anything today? Yes, God, right now, He is busy building His church. Maybe not with beams and with cement blocks. Maybe not with silver and gold. Maybe not with linen. But He's building a church out of living stones. And while we were building, I'm just wondering how much each one of us is helping to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship. In working together. Fellowship. We don't all have the same gifts, but each one of us, we do have gifts. And these gifts are here to complete one another and to strengthen one another. We can help. Some of us can preach. Some of us can invite. Some of us can bring in. Some of us can teach children in Sunday school. Some of us can help to clean the chapel. Some of us can help to water the flowers. From the plastic. We all can work together, can we? And then sometimes the chapel has to be cleaned, and in winter months sometimes the snow has to be shoveled and cleaned away. We all can work together in fellowship. We all have the same gift, but we can complete and we can help one another. And in what does the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? If we are building the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. For we are all laborers together with God. Fellowship in working. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's cultivated field, or you are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and an older man builded on it. But let every man take heed how he builds upon it. The apostle Paul says he is a wise master builder. You know, the foundation of the gospel is laid. The foundation of salvation is laid. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And now we're all building upon it. But we have to be very, very careful how we're building. But the Lord wants us to use the gifts and the talents and the spiritual endowments which he has given us, to use it to his glory. Yes, in the Old Testament, they were building the ark, they were building the tabernacle, later on they were building the temple, Solomon, with the materials which David his father had prepared, and now God has invited us to join and help to build the church of the living God. We all can carry together and bring in bricks, and you know the building is almost finished. Maybe there's just a few more bricks to be put in, maybe there's a few more boards to be nailed on, or maybe a few more shingles, and it will be all done. And then we're going to be with the Lord. Yes, folks, we all can work together in fellowship, and we can do great things for the Lord. Now, back in the book of Genesis again, in chapter 5, I mentioned before about the genealogy. There are some chapters in the Bible with lots of names. Some of these names are rather hard for us to pronounce, but they're for a purpose. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, Genesis 5, verse 21, Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Then we have a few more verses about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 6, otherwise we don't know. Hebrews chapter 11, otherwise we don't know too much about Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, the gallery of faith. Verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch walked with God. Fellowship in walking. Do you sometimes go for a walk? It's good, it's healthy, it's good for your health. Enoch walked with God. They went out for a walk, they had enjoyed nice fellowship, and my dear, they went out for a walk, somebody explained the time passed so quickly. Did he realize how the afternoon was going by? And if they looked at their watches, if they had watches at this particular time, he said, God says, listen, it's too late for you to return home. You better come right home, maybe. And he took him right home. Enoch walked with God. And in Hebrews, here we see, he walked with God, and God took him because he lived the life, he lived and walked the walk which was pleasing to God. Enoch walked with God. Do we walk with God? Do we walk with one another? And it means, I don't talk about wandering. Somebody wanders around and usually lost. But we go for a walk, for a purpose, with an aim, with a destination, and then a return. Enoch walked with God. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, we can two walk together except they be agreed. Sometimes we can walk beside one another and not agree. But can we have fellowship unless we agree? We cannot have. Let's have fellowship in our Christian walk. If you'd like to know more about the Christian walk, read the Epistle to the Ephesians. There we learn about the Christian walk. Walking in fellowship. Well, while we walk for the Lord, and while we live for the Lord, and while we worship the Lord, and while we worship the Lord, we also want to witness for the Lord. Be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Greenwood Hills, and so we go into the Franklin County, Maybe also in the state of Pennsylvania, and maybe for some else, you shall be witnesses over me even to the end of the world. Doesn't matter where we are witnesses for him, but that where we are found to be faithful and active for the Lord. So we're witnessing for him. In the book of Genesis, for instance, chapter 39, you're not going to turn to it. There we have the story of Joseph. Joseph, because he was sold by his brothers, sold into slavery. They hated him. They were jealous of him. So they sold him down there into Egypt. Poor young lad. And he didn't give up. And he walked with the Lord and lived for the Lord. You know then what happened to him, and Potiphar's wife turned her eyes upon him and tempted him. And he says, no. How could I do such a great sin against God and against your own husband? No. And because he remained pure, well, he lost his liberty, but he kept his purity. And because he resisted sin, that's why God afterwards could also raise him up to become the ruler of Egypt. Or it was not finished. His learning was not finished there. His walking and witnessing was not finished to his brothers, to his family. It was not finished just there by the main house of Potiphar. But even when he went to church, he could have said, oh, I'm giving up. I tried to live for God, but did the justice and work. Look where I'm landed here. But nevertheless, his attitude was the right one. And even there, he could be helped to the jailer, to some of his fellow prisoners. And when the time had come and he had passed his test, when it was God's time, he took them and he brought them before Pharaoh. He gave them the wisdom of God and he witnessed before Pharaoh. It's not me, but God can reveal these things. He is revealing. Joseph was witnessing, and while he was witnessing for God, he was also walking in fellowship with God. I mean, in the book of Kings, we could mention Elijah and Elisha. They were witnessed. Elijah there was before the king, the priest of 450 against him. He was the only one, and yet he was able to challenge them and say, we're going to prepare our sacrifices. And then the God who is going to answer by fire from heaven, he is going to be the true and the living God. And we know he won. God was on his side. He was witnessing for God, and God honored these witnesses. We are called, he shall be witnesses unto me, huh? That's what Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. When he said to his disciples, not only the first 12 apostles were there, but he's saying it to us too. He shall be witnesses. And then he goes away to the promise, but he doesn't have to do it with you. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the last day, I'm with you. If you're faithful in witnessing, I will be faithful to stand to you and to speak to you. Oh, you might have to go through times of difficulties and problems, but I will lead you through. I will lead you through. Lot. We mentioned Lot this morning, didn't we? He failed as a witness. Because he was a borderline Christian. He wanted to live near to the world. And Abraham, the older man, gave him the choice, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to the left? And I go to the right. Do you want to go to the right? And I go to the left. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and he saw the worldly riches, and he saw these rich plains down there. And he says, oh, I'm going down there. There's lots of food for my cattle and lots of water for my cattle down there. And then he was in the council of the city there. But of course, they don't listen to him anymore. Even as he went out, his chambers, his sons-in-law, and his relatives to tell the warden we have to flee, they just mocked him. He lost his witness because he did not walk with them. Fellowship in witnessing. Are we witnesses for the Lord? I assume most of us do not really claim to be Christians. Do we witness for the Lord? Quite often it's easy for us, even in a public assembly here, to address the people and to tell them about the Lord and to preach God's word or to sing for him. But are we also witnesses when we are on an individual basis? When we are one-to-one with people whom we meet in a day? Every day? Are we witnessing for the Lord? He shall be witnesses unto me. There's so many people we cross and we pass day by day. If I don't give them the gospel, who will? And if I don't give them the gospel today, when do they ever hear it? They might not hear it. Fellowship in witnessing. And it's so good when we can encourage one another to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can encourage one another to go along with him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, we have another kind of fellowship. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 41. That is the fellowship. we don't like too much, but the fellowship is needed, very much needed amongst Christians. This kind of fellowship they need right now towards heaven bread and towards their family. But the reason is here. Luke 19, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, that's the city of Jerusalem. He was there in the Mount of Olives, and he looked over to the city of Jerusalem. When he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast now, and even thou at least at this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For they shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. The Lord Jesus Christ comes towards Jerusalem, and he cries about the city because he knew already they were going to turn him away. He wept over Jerusalem. In another gospel we read, how often have I tried to gather you like a hen, like a mother hen tries to gather her chicks, but you wouldn't run. Because thou knewest not the time. In John's gospel, chapter 11, when the Lord came to Bethany, Lazarus, his friend, he knew before he had been sick. He delayed his coming for 2 days, and he also knew that Lazarus was dead. And then when he came to approach him, Martha came out to him and says, oh, Lord, Master, if you would have been here, he would not have died. And then we read, and Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He didn't weep because Lazarus died, because earlier in the chapter he told his disciples, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad. Lazarus is dead, I'm glad. He only knew what he was going to do. He came there and now he wept. Not because Lazarus was dead, because of the unbelief of the people. Even Martha and Mary. Yes, he's going to rise again in the last day. No, not in the last day. Didn't you realize I am the resurrection of the life? I am the resurrection of the life. And life came here. But he wept because of their unbelief. He wept over Israel because of their unbelief and disobedience. Because they were going to reject him as Savior and Messiah. Fellowship in weeping. Let's also turn to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk even as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I will tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. The Apostle Paul had warned the Philippians and said, be careful, watch out, the ones who walk faithfully. Walk out, watch out for the enemies of the cross. I have warned you before, and now I say, and I write to you, and while I'm writing to you about these people who do not accept the Lord, I'm weeping about how I would love to see them saved. Fellowship in weeping. Sometimes it's good for us to rejoice with the ones who are rejoicing. But then at the other times, it's also good for us to weep with the ones who are weeping. The ones who are mourning, like the Blair family, just know. And we really have compassion in them and try to understand them. Maybe if we have never gone through it ourselves, perhaps we cannot understand it. Fellowship with the weeping ones, we also need comfort. Eh? Or in the Apostle Paul, he prayed, he talked about these people, and he wept about souls. Do we shed some tears sometimes for unsaved people for whom we're praying? Or do we just say, I don't want to come? I told her all about church, so up to you, and if you don't want to, I don't care. The Apostle Paul seemed to care. He wept over them. Fellowship in weeping. Eh? Do we weep before the Lord for precious souls that they shall be saved? Maybe if we did, we would have more conversions today. Eh? Maybe if we did, we would have deeper and more sincere conversions today. Sometimes quite often when we pray today, we make conversions so simple. This come and accept you the way you are.
Yes, come the way you are, but you have to repent.
It would do any harm if some of the conversion of the people get saved today, if they would leave and regret their sins before the Lord. They won't do it just as if they would change a shirt or change a dress. Fellowship, indeed, do we need for brothers and sisters? Do we need for people on the outside that they will come in and be born into the family of God, with the glory of God? Fellowship and weeping. We have to watch on. Hurry on. We have to have a few more fellowships. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's say we could call this fellowship in watching. Verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. That's maybe a church rule. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, a state of must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have the rules over you, in every assembly, according to God's word. They are elders who lead the assembly, who lead the church of God. These elders have a responsibility. And if they recognize their responsibility, if they know their elders and recognize their responsibility, they know we're watching over the flock, and one day they're going to have to give a report before God if we have done our work faithfully on it. Lots of men perhaps like to be elders as long as everything goes good in the assembly. Everything runs smooth and fine. But then sometimes in an assembly, just like in a family, sometimes problems come up. Sometimes disorderly conduct comes up. Sometimes a problem here or there comes up. And then the brethren would have to go and exhort. And you know, exhortations are not always very well received, huh? Sometimes there can be quite a bit of backbiting. That's why we are exhorted here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. These men try to lead the flock according to God's will, according to God's word as well as the scriptures. They understand it. And they know they have the responsibility before God. If they come and exhort you, they do it because they love you and they want you to come back to the flock. And if they don't do it, they know God is going to punish them for it. But does it say here that they may do the work with joy? If we submit ourselves to them, they can do the work with joy. And if we don't help them in this way, we know it's going to be unprofitable for us. So, fellowship in watching. The elders of an assembly, but also elder sisters, we're watching and we're waiting for one another. I mean, French Guiana, in our assembly, they were glad about our sisters, all the sisters in the assembly. They look out and they watch, and sometimes they have to go to the younger sister and say, "Sister, what do you think about this?" And we're so glad if sometimes the sisters, the older sisters, take these charge of the older brethren, because certain things they can do better than we can. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, we get the idea that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others. We all, as brothers and sisters, we want to watch out for one another. We don't want to watch out for one another as secret police had to accuse us and to, I told you so. Now we want to watch one another and stir one another up and say, brother, sister, come on, let's get up, don't get discouraged. Sometimes the going is tough, but let's go on. We should go and visit one another and sometimes read a few verses together and sing a few verses together too, huh? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and encourage one another. If we watch one another, brother and sister, don't get on the sidetrack. Brother and sister, choose ye first the kingdom of God. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the other things will fall in place. We're watching out for one another, not to accuse us, not to deliver one another, but to encourage one another. Fellowship and watching, to stir one another on. And I will in Thessalonians. Let's just turn back to the first chapter. In the end of the first chapter, these Thessalonians were very young Christians, new Christians. They had been saved for only about 3 months. Now the apostle Paul has gone away. And he received a letter from them, and he received a good report, and what do we read here? First Thessalonians 5, verse 6. And he became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy in the Holy Spirit. so that he became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faithful with God is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of answering men ye had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They have turned from idols to the living God. And then verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Fellowship and waiting. These Thessalonians, they're young believers. They were waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are almost 2,000 years, but please say 1,900 years later. The Lord has returned. Maybe some of us could get discouraged. Maybe some of us could get cold feet. That's why we have to encourage one another. Now the Master, the Lord, He's going to come. Brother, sister, don't give up. Fellowship and waiting. And while we are waiting for the Lord, we want to serve the Lord. Fellowship and waiting for the Lord. Are we waiting for Him? I think the more we are occupied with the second, with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we are going to be ready. If you say He's not going to come for a long time, then He's going to come. You might find our lands without oil, huh? Be very, very careful. Fellowship in waiting. Fellowship in worship. Fellowship in working. Building a church today. Fellowship in walking, like Enoch walked with the Lord. Fellowship in witnessing, like Joseph, like Elijah. Fellowship in weeping with the ones who are downcast and discouraged. Fellowship in watching for one another, to excite one another, to do the right thing and live for the Lord. And fellowship in making His own comfort. You know, there's a church, a Christian fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we read, and the ones who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ were saved and added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it goes on, and they continued early Sunday morning, does it say? They continued steadfastly in what? In four things. I better look it up, so I give it to you in order. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. These are the four foundations, the four pillars of the church fellowship. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in regular prayer, and in prayer. The apostle, or Paul of Tarsus, and it was a young believer, just being saved there, when he had gone to persecute the Christians in Damascus, just being saved. And there comes in first one man who brings a little fellowship to him, Ananias. And then afterwards came in into his life, became Barnabas. And then finally Barnabas was the one who introduced him to the church in Jerusalem because they hadn't confidence. The fellowship grew and the fellowship deepened. It's so good for us that we walk with the Lord in the fellowship of God. If we walk with Him in the light, as He is in the light, we have truly fellowship with God the Father. Fellowship is established by agreement. We agree with the Lord. We accept and save. We agree with one another and we have fellowship. Fellowship, especially amongst Christians, can be lost by disagreement. I don't think we lose our salvation, but we can lose the fellowship with God, the communion with God. We can lose the fellowship with one another. But then also it's good to know, and if once the fellowship has been lost, the fellowship can be reestablished. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Brothers and sisters, let's walk in fellowship to the glory of God. Shall we pray today? God, our Father, once more we will come before Thee and we thank Thee. We thank Thee again for Your precious word. There's so much in it for our spiritual enrichment. There's so much in it to guide us and to lead us in our Christian life. Oh God, help us to really be in fellowship in the Father. With the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, help us to fellowship in worship, fellowship in walk, fellowship in labor, fellowship is meant to be also in duty,
And especially now, Lord, as we are waiting for you to come back, that we shall not lose our hope, that we shall not give up, but that we shall encourage one another in the fellowship. Let's wait. Surely he's going to be here. And then when he comes, he shall take you, take us, and he shall be with him forever. Oh Lord, grant that this fellowship between yourself and us, and between only one another, shall lead you, that we shall be enriched, and indeed that we shall be ready when you come. We do thank and praise you. Now God is not going to go home now, give us traveling snows, keep us safe in the road. Then also give us a night of rest and new strength for tomorrow. Tomorrow we shall be ready again to have fellowship in witnessing the glory to God. We thank and praise you, God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.